This was the big response to the George Ryan scandal, Operation Safe Road, and the law created the infrastructure for ethics enforcement in Illinois. It set standards for political activity on taxpayer time, what you can't do if you're working for the government in a government office. It created a series of inspectors general with clear standards for professional standards for what those people have to do, what kind of background they have to do, what quality of people they have to be. It created a mechanism for investigating complaints about ethics, whereas before there wasn't anything like that. And it also formed the Executive Ethics Commission, which hears complaints and conducts kind of trials based on the findings of Inspector General investigations. All of it's supposed to be removed from politics. Each of the statewide elected officials have a hand in picking Inspector General and the Ethics Commission itself. So in theory, no one person can dominate that process. The goal of the system is to have a clean, above-board, transparent system to ensure that that the state is not doing the kinds of things that sent George Ryan and so many other people to jail.
Has it worked?
Well, the point of the bill was to address kind of a low-level corruption before it became a high-level corruption. All reform is scandal-driven. The 2003 Act was written in response to the kinds of things we saw in Operation Safe Road, where employees were compelled to make campaign contributions to the campaign fund of the elected official who ran the office, who then those employees then took bribes to generate the money to funnel into the campaign fund. And when there were complaints about this going on, the person who was supposed to be enforcing good government rules was actually the person who was protecting the Secretary of State when they should have been doing just the opposite. And exactly what we saw under George Ryan has not happened since. I'm not saying it's not going on, but I don't know if it's going on. I don't know that it's, it's hard to say what's happening behind closed doors, but we have seen a series of investigations of low-level activity that suggests to me that we're not seeing corruption rise to the top anymore, that there are tools in place to snip that kind of thing in the bud before it gets to be too pronounced. So the kinds of things that happened under George Ryan are not happening again, and in that sense we have success. Now, the capacity for human beings to be venal and selfish and look out for themselves instead of constituents is apparently endless. So there may be other scandals that come up, and we'll have to address those as they arise, but we're not seeing the kinds of problems we saw before.
This is why, for instance, when I worked at the Stratton office building on the Capitol complex, that I would often see individuals who I knew worked for, say, one of the leaders of the General Assembly, standing outside the building on their cell phones instead of indoors at their desk making phone calls.
The kinds of things that we saw in Operation Safe Road, I think if we saw them today, we'd be shocked. The allegations that were proven at trial were that campaign employees took photocopiers and other equipment out of the Secretary of State's office and physically pushed it across the street to the campaign headquarters. Incredibly, there was no specific rule against doing that. Now there is a clear rule against doing that, and we simply don't see that. That's an extreme example. But the idea that you cannot do political work on taxpayer time with taxpayer resources, that's being enforced in a much tougher way and is far better understood as a kind of rule that you just don't break among both parties. So, yes, you are seeing people who will take a break, will step outside of the building, will use their cell phones instead of taxpayer phones. If they're going to do political work, it's on a lunch break, it's after hours, it's not in the office. The kinds of corruption that we saw 10, 15 years ago, we're not seeing these days, and that's in large part because of this bill. Both this bill and the discussion that took place around the bill to get it passed.
Moving on to the second ethics law in response to a second gubernatorial scandal, the campaign finance law also passed on December 9th. What exactly is Illinois' campaign finance law now because of that date 4 years ago?
After the federal Watergate scandal in the early 70s, the federal government and most states put limits on how much a single donor can give to one candidate. on the thinking that huge contributions, if they didn't corrupt the recipient, they sure looked like they did, and they gave pause to voters. They fueled cynicism. They suggested that it doesn't matter what voters do, that money is all that counts. That's how most states responded in the early 70s and began limiting campaign contributions. That didn't happen in Illinois. We were one of a tiny handful of five or fewer states that allowed candidates to take as much as they could get from anyone who would give it to them, as long as they disclosed contributions. And that system worked. You know, we had a couple of scandals. We've always had a couple of scandals. But Rob Blagojevich, as governor, laid forth a blueprint for how to exploit that kind of wide-open Wild West system, where the public official would essentially demand six-figure contributions from people who wanted bills signed, five-figure contributions from people who wanted state jobs or people who wanted to be appointed to boards or commissions, essentially putting a price tag on public service and demanding to be paid before doing what their job required them to do. So the law that was signed into law in 2009 attempted to put a stop to that by saying that the donors cannot give more than a fixed amount to candidates. There was a lot of pushback on that law. Some of the folks who voted for it grudgingly. And I have to say it's the great irony of the 2014 elections is that the first governor's election under the new law will not have limits on candidates for governor. Because of some loopholes that were built into the law that the groups like ICPR tried to take out, but that the General Assembly insisted on keeping there. So did that law work? You know, we'll have to see. It's essentially not in effect for candidates for governor right now, and we'll see how many other races take those limits off.